Hello, everyone. So welcome to the 21st episode of the Angel Swing Weekend Chat. This is June from the Angel Swing account, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Casper and Espresso. And today we're having a chat with two of our Angel Swing community members, Laura and Ali. Welcome. And we'll be talking about community building, Laura's art therapy games, and Ali's new NFT zine collection. And before I start, let's hear the backstory of the Angel Swing from Casper first.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our chat number 21. Most of you will know we're the Angel Swing, founded by friends, OGs like Espresso, Johannes, Yoon, myself, and Rebel Rouser, who met through our beloved Meta Angels project, which also recently just airdropped us Meta Angels holders, a very beautiful piece by Aslan Ruby herself. Thanks a lot for that. And we were obviously driven by our common passion to showcase independent artists and all of your lovely art and helping you guys stand out from the crowded NFT market, which we all know is dominated by mainly generative 10K PFP projects. For new artists wishing to join us, we do showcase the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery, which is now ever-expanding thanks to the new portal feature, which means we can always link your personal galleries to the main Meta Angels, the main Angel Swing gallery, without technically a limit. As all of you would know, a larger collection of art always brings a cross-pollination of viewership. So that's the basic logic behind our passion of showcasing art from indie artists to reach collectors more effectively through sales. And of course, I'm glad with all your help, we've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends. And we'll find out today from both Laura and Ali what are the best ways to build a community? What are some of the ideas? And that's pretty much what we're building, right? Community and our friends. And with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcasts, we hope to reach a much more wider audience outside of this bear market. And the easiest way, of course, to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord, which most of you are already in. Everything's on our link tree in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or you just want to join a friendly art NFT community and get in with some of the very interesting side projects and games we're playing. So with that, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Casper. So I'd like to invite Laura to speak first. Laura's a community builder and art curator at HUG. Hi, Laura. So how are you today?
Hey, happy Sunday, everyone, for those of you who are still in Sunday. I'm doing good, yeah. Just getting my day started.
it's great to have you here on the show. So I would let you tell our audience first a bit about yourselves and about yourself and your story at Web3.
Yeah. Hi, everyone who's not familiar with me. I'm Lore. I joined the NFT space late last year, navigating through a couple projects and then eventually moving to work part-time in Web3. I actually started my kind of like more formal career in Web3 like as a catalyst in Meta Angels. So have a lot in common with all the people who are here. But after that, I made a wish. Like my origin story is that I made a wish, or I guess I was in a space recently where this guy was like, it's not origin story, it's genesis story. We're in NFTs. So I guess my genesis story is that I started off in kind of Meta Angels being a catalyst and I wanted to get more involved and I didn't really know how. And I made a wish on International Women's Day in March earlier this year that was like, I want to work in Web3 full time. And within 45 minutes, when I got a message from Deb Soon, who was like, hey, are you interested in working here? And I was like, honestly, Deb, I'm scared. But I reached out to her, and so we got to talking. And so, I made the leap and tried out Hug. So I came on part-time for a little while, and they loved what I had to offer them. And so I joined them full-time like 3 weeks later. So the rest is history.
Amazing. So what do you think, what would you say, you have been here around since last year. What has been one of the most rewarding moments for you in Web3 so far?
I think probably making my first group of friends. Like, I think, like, nothing compares, like, as much as I love everyone that I meet, obviously, but I just feel like nothing compares to that first group of friends that you make in that totally crap project that you all invested in. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we always find, you know, great community and, like, amazing projects, like Meta Angels or Hug or whatever, but I feel like when you first join the space and you're just like, I don't understand anything, I'm just navigating blindly, and your friend is like, I sort of understand this, but honestly, it's the blind leading the blind. I always think that's one of the most pure and wholesome, like, Web3 moments is when you make that first group of friends. And I'm going to give out a shout out real quick to Vanessa Aguilar, who's in the chat, who's one of my first friends in the space. It's Paperclip, who's also in the game recently. It was also one of my great friends. Lindsay Satisfied Cat, also one of my day one friends in the space. So those people have been really cool and really supportive from the beginning, and I think that kind of initial group of people really lured me into the space, and in the sense that, like, I was like, wow, I can meet genuine people and make really genuine connections. I remember, actually, it's one of our friends in our first ever kind of friend group on NFTs that I had never joined was from Australia, and when I got hired in Hug, she was like, what's your address? Sent me a package, and I didn't get it until like 3 months later. It was like pretty recently that I got it, and I almost started crying because I was like, oh my god, it was so thoughtful. But, you know, like, that group of people really set the mood for me for NFTs. Like, whether the market was bear or bull, like, it just felt like, you know, these people were home. So it's been really special in that way.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this lovely story. Yeah, I can totally relate this. So making friends is probably one of the most rewarding moments in Web3. So talking about community building, what is the most challenging part about community building?
I think the most challenging part of community building is probably making everyone happy, like that falling into the trap of trying to make everyone happy. I don't think you're ever going to make everyone happy, even if it's like something as inconsequential as like, let's have movie night and the people can't agree on the movie. Like, you're just sitting there like, oh, come on, agree on the movie. You know what I mean? But like, I think one of those things is just relinquishing the need to make everyone satisfied all the time. I think community building is really difficult when you try to make that the case. Like, I mean, it's good to be inclusive and have, you know, the intention of bringing in other time zones and things of that nature, but you cannot make everyone happy, and agonizing over that is obviously really hard.
That's very true. So what would you like say if someone wants to start building, even as an artist, building a community, how should she or he start doing that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if somebody is trying to build a community from scratch, it's very difficult, right? Like, right off the bat, like, trying to find kind of the audience. Oh, you guys are gonna hear my dog barking. He always knows when I'm in a meeting or like on a call. Like, he just saves it up. But I think, like, when it comes to building a community and you're, you know, starting from nothing, I think it's good to have an idea of what you want that community to look like and how you want that community to behave, right? Like, I would never go into building a community that's like art, like for a one-of-one artist, for instance, but come in with like a Flippers kind of community vibe, right? Like, I would never use like a bassy vibe for like a project that's just getting started or an artist that's just getting started. I think knowing, it's similar how to like a lot of founders will be like, oh, you have to know product market fit. I think you just have to know your community and know the community that you want to have, and then make those connections and nurture that behavior. That looks different for a lot of different communities. I think, like, you know, like certain communities, it's a lot more focused towards short-term flipping and profit gains, things of that nature. So like, your community is not going to function the same as like a community that's sitting here and playing Web3 Art Mafia, right? Like, I don't think, like, I don't think that they're probably going to overlap, but I think knowing the behavior that you want, the type of people that you want, helps you to nurture and make decisions kind of towards that direction, or how to nurture those people out of the community.
Yeah, thank you for these insights. Any questions from our co-hosts to Lore about community building before we move on to our intriguing art therapy games?
So I just wanted to add to what Lore mentioned about building a community. I think it's really great that she brought up points that resonated with me as we were trying to build up the Angels Wing. Obviously, the one of the biggest factors or challenges that I face speaking at 12 midnight right now in Asia is time zones, right? And I don't know whether you have any tips again, maybe it's going back to the issue of trying to make everybody happy, but is there some optimal solution to any of these challenges that you're speaking of? Just for example, like time zones, do you focus on just the groups that you bring in and just have to accept that there will be people that are left out? Doesn't matter that, you know, your primary message, of course, is inclusivity, but you just have to accept that because Web3 is such a global phenomenon, that there will be people that have to be unfortunately left out.
I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Because like at one end, you're thinking, okay, I can try to be as inclusive as possible. And like, I know one thing I recently did was I reached out to my moderators who operate in Australian and Asian time zones. So we were thinking like, how about we extend some of the community building events to you folks to take over? One, you can get a little bit more experience with community related aspects and outside of just moderation. And then two, how do you feel about, you know, hosting and being kind of more of a face of the community? So it's kind of like a benefit for them to want to, you know, get kind of deep dive into community, what they can do to make community or, you know, nurture a community, and then have them also be able to encompass a different time zone. So that's been really helpful for us. I know that, like, you know, having folks in other time zones and empowering them with the ability to host or put something on or make the decision to make an event has helped us. I think that's also pushed for more inclusivity all around, just because I think that's been a continual issue in Web3, is that NFTs are super America-centric, right? Like, it's always in the Pacific or Eastern time zone. So it tends to be that, you know, when you are, you know, going to an event, it's always in either Pacific or Eastern. So I think having the ability to throw on some, you know, movie nights or hangouts or whatever in other time zones, or making at least an effort to do that, is helpful. But on the other side of, you know, the coin, I think, like, you also have people who are like, you know, if you don't have my time zone, like, this project is, it's BS, right? And they're going to complain about it regardless. And I think there's a difference between those who really want to just, you know, be more a part of the community and people who are just looking to be satiated in every way, right? And there's kind of a differentiation in that way. So it's like, when you have kind of that method of inclusivity, like, you want to consider, like, are the people that I'm including also, you know, finding benefit in what I'm doing? Because otherwise, I'm just kind of shooting in the dark, right? So that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks. I think those are great tips, like empowering some of your other community members to help do the outreach instead of trying to focus on doing everything ourselves. Definitely something to consider. Thanks, Lore.
I was just checking a bit on potential questions that people have for Lore, and I just saw that Trump demands a life murder reveal here on Space. So yeah, talking about your art therapy games. So Lore, how did you actually came up with this idea? So it started first as a self-portrait thing, and then the second game was a treasure hunt, and now we're in the middle of a crime game.
Yeah, that's, yeah, honestly, you are all the victims of my evil genius at this point. Like, I don't even know how we got from there to here, but we're here and we were killing each other and it's fun. no, but going back to it, I think it all started when I launched the Salvador Dali project. I was feeling like, you know, that was a period of after NFT NYC. And I think a lot of the folks who are on, you know, project teams were starting to feel fatigue. And I was like sitting there thinking like, how can I, you know, make people draw, have a little fun? It's not so serious, or like, you know, have them enjoy art again. Right. Because I think like that, if you go back to like January of this year, even, and compare like the emotions and moods of people in the space compared to that now and then, I think like, it's just been kind of like a lull, right? Like I think a lot of people need that reinvigoration. So I kind of started with Salvador Dali as an experiment. That was kind of just like, I'm not that great of an artist. I'm going to time myself. I'm going to say, post your PFP. And then I'm just going to draw you an absolute garbage version of it, and you're going to enjoy it. Right. Like, and so we did that. And I feel like, when I kind of started drawing these PFPs, like, people really like got a kick out of them. Like, people who are just like hemorrhaging ETH on all their investments are just like, you know what, this is what's gonna keep me going. And that's kind of when I made that realization that I was like, okay, maybe if I do something, you know, that has this positive, like, lighthearted feeling, people will feel less fatigued by the space, or like less, you know, down from the bear market in general. So that's where it started. I didn't plan to make like all this art therapy stuff until I made that like doodle, right? That little UH doodle of like a little body, kind of like a template. And I said, like, you know, just like let loose on this and let's see what you make, right? Because I had thought like, okay, well, if Salvador, I drew your PFP, how about you draw mine, right? And that was kind of the idea. And so I posted it and I was like, okay, well, just draw whatever, do whatever on it. And I never had the intention of compositing the images at the end until like halfway through, where I realized like, oh, it'd be fun if I just put all of these pictures together with me and we, you know, made it an NFT and I airdropped it to everyone. Cause like gas is so low right now. It cost me maybe like $20 to airdrop like 30 or 40 editions. Like it was very cheap. So I was like, well, why not? I'll do it. And you know, that built a huge, you know, kind of positive wave in on Twitter. And I was really surprised by it. You know, I just thought like, oh, well, I drew yours, you could draw mine now. Like, you know, it's like a joke just to see like what people would draw, or like if people are really going to be really good or whatever. But you know, I just thought like, let's just try it out for fun. And it made a really positive impact on, you know, people's moods. They're like, oh, wait, leave this up. Let me finish to draw it. Like, I want to draw it. And so kind of adding the airdrop as an idea of just like example of, you know, extending, you know, like a little gift. It's inexpensive. It was fun. Everyone loves having it. So it's like people were like messaging like, I feel so bad, I'm FOMOing, I'd love to have it. So yeah, I started there, and then the whole treasure map thing came. So I thought like, so many people missed out on my first one. How can I be more inclusive towards that? How can I open up for longer? So I drew the treasure map as a whole, like, empty piece. It was just an empty, like, island with, like, some water around it. And I think my contribution was a boat. The boat that Casper's on, actually, in that image, that's funny if you check the lore on that. But but I drew that empty map and I gave it out and I said, like, give me something that you imagine to be on this map, right? And so that started, you know, a flurry of responses. And I think I was talking to Unzong. A lot of you folks know Unzong Art on Twitter. Unzong was like, you know, this whole map thing is giving me Neopets vibes. It's reminding me of Neopets when you would go on that treasure map island and look for treasure. And so that's how it started. I was like, oh my God, what if I gamify it? And I had always been interested in the idea of gamifying like one of one artist's work, like where like you see all these projects where it's like insanely high floor price to get in. You can solve the mystery for like 10,000 ETH, but it's hard and you have to work together and everyone has to have a pass, and the pass is 5 ETH and the questions are extremely hard. So I was like, okay, well, how can I make this more casual? Join in if you want to join in. So depending on where I put your art on the map, I would give you basically the mint of that for free. I would reserve it for you. You can just buy it for free, which is gas price, which is, I think, $1 or $2. So you can get involved and play along. And the whole idea with the treasure map was that you would meet somebody and talk to somebody that you'd never talked to before. And that's kind of developed along the way. Like, I can't say that I was the mastermind who had that plan from the get-go, because that's absolutely not true. But I did have that kind of inclination of like, oh my God, it'd be so cool if like all these friends that I had in each of these communities who don't really interact with each other, but I know would be friends with each other, would be able to like jump into each other's Discords and talk to each other in DMs and get to know each other. So that's kind of the whole idea with the treasure map, and then kind of unlocking. And this is kind of, I did not realize that I did this, but people were like, you know, I learned a lot about wallets through this because of the re-import you had to do, the seed phrase and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be honest. I did not have the intention of being the wallet education mastermind either, but that's something that happened along the way. So we're thankful. But yeah, so now we're here on Mafia. It took a dark turn, but I just wanted to see if I could pull it off. I wanted to see if we could make, you know, a little game of Mafia happen through NFTs. Like, I actually had a lot more like formal ways to do it in my head. Like, I was like, what if we vote for the victim using a DAO and all this stuff? But I was like, you know what, let's start simple. Let's not bite off more than we can chew.
Yeah, amazing. So I find these games very refreshing, as you said, that when people started to kind of get bored or from the, everything that's going on here. And so I really love this playfulness of your ideas. And you basically haven't really planned these games ahead. So it's just something that's just developed naturally, I guess. And so we probably won't know what would be next after the crime game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to take a break after the crime game. This one is definitely intense, but I think that this one's going to make a lot of friends. And I think that's been really fun to see, like within all the chats, people who are, you know, like not really talking to each other, all like chatting every day. I had one of our friends, Lindsay, recently, like yesterday, just tell us, like, you know, I usually hate writing in like group chats. I don't really like talking on Twitter chats. Like group chats overwhelm me. But for some reason, I'm logging in every day to this one to read what everyone has to say in reply. So it's like funny because, you know, these people are like, I usually don't like, you know, socializing like this in group chat or like talking to people I don't really know. But, you know, when you give them kind of that like game to like kind of break the ice for them, it's a lot more fun. I think that, you know, it opens up a lot of friendships in Web3. And I think building that community across like, you know, certain people here who are hanging out in House Hop all the time, people who are in Hug, people who are in BFF, you know, people who are in all these different communities are just able to kind of bridge on Twitter. And that's the whole reason people are like, what about a Discord? This would make it easier. I'm like, yeah, but that would make it so much less fun.
So Ali asked in our group chat before whether you plan to monetize this game for this community.
You know, that's funny, actually, Ali, that you mentioned that, because a lot of people were like, well, why don't you take money for it? And I was like, well, it's kind of because it's a lot of it is an experiment. I'm kind of just throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. But I mean, I don't really have plans to monetize it, though I did have somebody like out of the blue be like, do you do like Slack HR, like team building exercises? I was like, what? They're like, do you lead like like team building exercises for like workplaces? And I was like, I don't know if I have time for that. But I mean, there was always the idea like, oh, I could like do a buy-in for a certain price, like maybe give it to charity or something. I don't really have plans to monetize it though, personally.
Okay, so it's Ali, it's me here. But like, what if you took it to other communities who are like struggling in the bear market? And like, I don't know, I would say 50% of the Discords I'm in right now are kind of like ghost towns. So like, to go to projects and be like, hey, I did this thing. You would like to have me run this game for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely on the table. I like, that's something that I thought about too, was like cross community games and stuff. I feel like it'd be down the line, because I feel like I have to develop something that works for Discord, because right now I've been building it around Twitter. But it's mainly because I've been trying to trial and error kind of what works or like what doesn't work. But I feel like it'd be fun, and like my plans right now, tentatively a little alpha, is that I would try to build something like this into the Hug Discord for our next community game. I was thinking about doing another Mafia in the month of October, but I don't know. That's all. that's all speculative.
Yeah, I love that idea from you, Ali. Talking about time, so I have the impression that you don't sleep at all, though. And I wonder how you manage your time so efficiently and do all these things at the same time.
I'm a serial multitasker. I'm addicted to multitasking. It's a problem to a certain extent, but I do feel like, I mean, with the game, I tend to do it only in the morning at night, right? And you can see, like, I had catered this game, and this is kind of going back to the point of inclusivity, right? I had catered this game knowing it was my trial run to be, like, the first one of this month. Oh, you guys can hear my dog. He's crying because another dog from down the street came by. But yeah, like I feel like with this trial run, I mean, it was just like I wanted to cater it kind of towards my time zone because I had the intention of seeing if it would work, right? Like here I was thinking like, oh, okay, like second day people will be like, I don't want to play this and just call it. But like here we are like 4 days in and people are like, I need to know what happens next. So, you know, like I was like thinking about that and I was thinking like, okay, I need to do it in my time zone so that I can be able to, you know, wake up in the morning and do an announcement and at night before I go to sleep, do an announcement. So it ended up being that, like, it wasn't too time involved, like, kind of to set this up. I had already had the idea in my head, like a true psychopath, right? Like, what? I had this idea in my head that I would do this mafia murder game. And it was funny because I had been talking to a friend of mine, Entropy HQ, and a shout out to him, by the way, because he was giving me this amazing idea. He was totally gassing me up on this. But we were thinking, like, oh, it'd be fun to do, like, a murder mystery. But I was thinking, like, a murder mystery might take too long because I think with Mafia, it's a little bit quicker once you get the kind of rhythm and pattern. So I was thinking, like, okay, I'll try it with Mafia, and then we'll maybe work it into murder mystery somewhere down the line.
So how long do you think will this this current game still going on? Because we think we are on day 3 now, and
yeah, I think this is day 4. I think that this week, I think it might end this week. Truly.
All right. Okay. So yeah, looking forward to see how it goes. Any other questions from our co-host to Laura?
I just want to say that I'm not the murderer. That's all. I'm not the murderer of this game. I'm not. It's not me.
Yeah, for the record, it's not me too. Because yeah, I'm a speaker. So if I don't see anything, you will assume I am.
Yeah, so I'm not even in the game. So it can't be me either.
That sounds sus.
That's a little sussy, Thresha.
Okay, so if there are no other questions for Laura, let's move to Ali as our second speaker.
Yeah, let's do that. So, and Ali, welcome back. We've had you before and talked about your projects. And this time around, you've been giving out a new NFT sign, which is sounds like a first to me. I haven't seen this done before in the NFT space, so that's cool. So we wanted to have you on to elaborate a bit on this sign, what's going into it, and what your plans and thinking around it, and also your current projects, because there's new ideas compared to last time. So yeah, why don't you introduce to us the NFT sign and all of the other ideas?
Sure. So thank you for having me back. It's good to be back on the Angel's Wing gallery weekend chat. So basically, before I came on, because I was building what would be like a generative art project in 100 days, and I kind of gave up at the end because it was kind of, I think it was kind of at like the beginning of the end of PFP projects. And I still have those ideas. There's kind of like more on the back burner, but I've really kind of pivoted and focused more on my one-of-one art. So I had people who bought into the 100-day collection. So it was 100 girl illustrations. And I was like, oh shit, now I'm not doing this anymore. So like, how can I kind of like reward the people who've already bought into my projects and who like really believe in me and my art and my message and stuff like that. So then I had the idea to make a zine or a zine, whatever you want to say. And so basically it is something that I wanted to, I kind of was thinking also about like multiple modes of monetization, which is something that is actually come up a lot lately in the discourse on Twitter. So I made the zine as something to airdrop to people who are one of one holders. So it's kind of like a thing that they can get whenever I end up making them, and then something to kind of, read or keep up to date on like what I'm doing. And then I also sell these for a low cost. So I think I sold the first one for 0.01 ETH, and I'm selling the second one also for 0.01 ETH, just as a way to kind of like bring new people into kind of my art space and life. So it's kind of like a way for me to engage the people who've been, you know, collectors for a few months, as well as interest new people. And why I really like the zine or design is because I actually made these on like paper before. So basically zines have like a really long history of being kind of like this guerrilla type art or guerrilla type item. So they were made in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s on like photocopied pieces of paper, where people would just kind of like photocopy them and like pass them out to their friends or trade them or sell them for like $2 or $3 or $4. And often they would just be like little scribbles or art or like collages and writing. And so I did that for a while when I was in my 20s. And I still have some paper zines kicking around. But I really love the way that zines in general have always helped me really express my full and authentic self as an artist and as a writer. Because I often think, especially with like the algorithmization-ness of our life, that we're getting kind of pushed and pushed and pushed into being sort of one very specific thing, like niche down or like niche into one thing. Even like as an artist, like before I was only doing like PFP art and only doing art that I thought other people would want. But I also like writing and like sharing my stories and things like that. So for me, zines is a way to combine both of the art, the illustration, as well as my writing side and kind of like smush that together and share that with people. So that's zines.
Thanks. Yeah, so and there's a lot of content as well in this zine. I'll try to call it zine as well. So very curious to hear more about kind of how was the process putting this together? How did you decide the focus and maybe introduce some of the topics for people who haven't seen it yet?
Sure. So the topics are really ranging from, so in the sort of the traditional sort of zine world, there's different types of zines. So it's not something that is only like the way that I made it, but there's something called like fanzines where people like make zines of like things they're really like stoked about, like, or like a band or something. But this is what I would call more of like a personal zine. So a lot of this does delve into like my personal life. And some people have commented that it almost feels like they're reading my journal in some ways. And it's like very raw and open. So I do cover topics such as like depression, anxiety, but also like I try to mix it up with some light stuff as well, which is something I've always done with my previous zines in the past. So there's like, I think I did like little PFP illustrations. So there's like, here's the PFP of the month. You can like download it and use it if you want. I've also included like little, like kind of like a little this or that type of image that some people have shared to like get to know you type of thing. I've also shared like my routines and like what I've been, like working on, like things I want to get better at and things like that, as well as like one page little like images and graphics. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I guess to go back to like, how did I make this? It was a bit of a challenge because we're currently in the NFT space. Like we're really only limited, like there's only so many types of file types that you can actually put on the blockchain that I've found. So one of them is like the image, or there's like a video or like GIF, or there's a couple other different types of things you can do. So this is something that's ideally meant to be like a PDF. So that was a challenge to figure out how to actually like get it on the blockchain and like as an NFT. So I ended up just taking each of the pages and then like shrinking them down and like making it a big sort of collage image. And then every person I followed up with them and actually sent them either the files or like a link to the files for them to download and look at in a higher quality. But I'm hoping in the future to have some kind of like token gated thing where they can redeem the files or like the link to the files. So I don't have to like, although I do like DMing everybody, it is a little time consuming. So that's kind of a bit of the process and like how it actually functionally works.
Thanks. Yeah. Like PDFs are tricky. I'm not aware of any kind of easy way of doing that, apart from, as you mentioned, some kind of token gated website or something where you get access. So yeah, but Casper, you have a question.
Oh, I just wanted to add, I think you can add the PDF or a link to the PDF through hidden content, right, on OpenSea?
So you can technically, however, I minted with Manifold and they don't have that option that I could see. But if anyone does know, you can add that, let me know, because that would be the easiest way. Just link it in there for people to get.
Yeah, because I remember buying an NFT before from an artist, and then the full image, or rather the full video file, was not available. It was too big, and then the link was in as part of the hidden content. So I thought that could be an option for you.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at that. I couldn't figure out a way to add it, but I was also having other slight problems with the uploading the contract on time, because I set myself a little deadline. So I will take a look at that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. So, but that means using OpenSea main thing, which in general, we do love Manifold. But yeah, you're right that this option is not present for Manifold. But yeah, getting back to the content. So, for example, I do love this get to know Ale part, and also you included the same kind of template for people. So people can just screenshot it, as you mentioned, and fill out coffee or tea, cats and dogs, morning person, night owl, that kind of stuff. So I thought that was very, very fun. And yes, I was planning to do that, and then something else happened. So still need to do this. We'll do that after. Another piece of content that you touch on here and go into a bit of detail on is this kind of awareness point. And now we're in the tough section of kind of mental health topics. So would you mind explaining what you mean by this awareness point and how to think of this?
Yeah. So it's taken me, I have cats and they're like killing our plants right now. So I'm just like, okay, they're good now. So the awareness point of mental health. So basically it's taken me a while, but basically with mental health and like my own mental health journey, I've kind of identified like a point where things are kind of not going as well as I would like them to. So like I'm staying up too late, I'm, you know, being annoyed or cranky or things like that. Like, I guess like it's kind of like the warning signs that, you know, you're not having a good time. And I think it's very easy in this space, the NFT space in general, and even in like our chaotic lives, to kind of like forget to not notice sort of like your own personal warning signs. And it takes a lot of like internal like introspection and like looking at yourself and like knowing kind of like, who are you when you're good? Like, who are you when you're in like a good mood, when you're like doing well, you're, you know, balanced? And then who are you when you're not that way? So I was kind of identifying that, especially like in the past month or so, I was like, oh wow, I'm like staying up really late, because I'm in the Eastern time zone and I know everybody else is in the 3 hours, you know, earlier than me. So I'm staying up till midnight or like past midnight. I'm like, you know, just really kind of ruminating in my thoughts. I'm not journaling. I'm not eating well. I'm not drinking any water. So then I'm like, oh shit, I'm feeling really shitty. And I've just had a lot of personal past experience with like mental health and knowing that like, okay, well, there's a few different ways this can go. One, I can kind of keep doing this and like kind of watch my mental health deteriorate rapidly or like slowly, or I can kind of like do something about it. So part of the zine was me kind of realizing that I was going down sort of a dark path and then realizing like, okay, shit's real. So I have to like do stuff and like actually put in the time to like take care of myself and doing like really basic things. So like for me, that's like definitely 100% my routine, like doing the bare minimum of things that like really helps me, you know, get back. But it does take a really long time to figure out like what's having a bad time, like what is that like for you. And you know, it does take a lot of introspection, so it's not something that you can easily identify, but for me, it's something that I've had a lot of experience with mental health over the years. So it's really something that I'm a bit more aware of. But it does, like, it's not like I catch this, like, right when I'm, like, not sleeping. It like takes a little bit of time for me as well, but it's a process. So that's a very rambling answer, but I'm happy to expand more on anything or any other questions about that topic, because I don't think it's something that gets talked about enough in this space and just like in the wider world in general. And I think there's a lot of stigma, and you know, this is like a chronic condition that I've had for 10, 15 years, and it's not something that's going to go away from me. So it's something that I'm trying to learn to deal with and live with more, in a more balanced way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really important topic, and really important, as you say, to start to become aware of these warning signs and kind of the situations where we're overstretched or FOMOing too much or not eating well or all of these kind of things that build up over time, and really, yeah, become aware, as you point out. So I'm very happy that you bring up this topic in the SEAM and go into depth. Really important and good to see people being open about it, because the last thing we need is that this kind of stuff is kind of not spoken about. So I'm so very, very happy to see that. And also it's very easy to recognize my own patterns. For example, when you say at the start of the month, having some great ambition and motivation to do something, and then a week or two goes, and then kind of losing steam, and then by the end of the month feeling bad if it didn't become the thing you wanted it to be, and then starting all over with the next thing. That's very relatable, and probably I would guess part of being human. So it's good to see these things being talked about.
Yes, I'm throwing up the crying laughing eyes emoji, because yeah, it's something that even happens to me with like, it's almost like I feel like you can't figure everything out. Like there's always something that like you kind of have to drop the ball on. And yeah, like we all have that experience. Like you said, like the beginning of the month, or even like the beginning of the week or the year, you're like, yeah, I'm like, let's fucking go. I'm going to like rock it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to be like 100%. Like I'm all in. And like, you've never seen anyone more motivated than me. And then the middle of the month, you're like, you know, I'm just going to eat this bag of chips in the middle of the night. And at the end of the month, you're like, I'm a failure. I'm a loser. Like, why did I let this happen again? And then you're like, but tomorrow, first of the month, first of the week, I'm going to like kill it. Like, let's do this. Yeah, that's a very common cycle, and something that happens to me a lot. Even though I'm aware of it happening, it still happens. So it's kind of funny when I think about it. That's why I was like laugh cry.
Nice. Yeah, and let's talk a bit about your daily art practice as well. So if I'm seeing right on Twitter, you're like 2 months into a daily art practice.
Yes, that's right. So every day I draw something and I share it to Twitter. And sometimes if I have a bit more time, I'll like actually kind of post the different like steps or stages of the art as I go through. And initially I started off doing like physical art as well, like sketches like from my sketchbook I had included in, but now I've kind of just done like exclusively iPad or digital art for my daily practice pieces. And yeah, I think I'm up to something crazy like 75 days of doing this. Yeah, so I always have like these ideas. I'm like, I'm gonna do something for like 100 days or like 300 days, but I find like that's almost too much for me. So I have to start where I'm like, you know, I'll just do this for today and then see if I can do it again tomorrow is a much better approach for me. But yeah, I just kind of like draw whatever is like inspiring me. Playing Laura's Murder Game, I was inspired by Lady Macbeth, so there was a bit of a bloody art piece a couple days ago. But sometimes it's like the beach or like the weather or something else that I'm dealing with. And it's just been a fun way for me to share art with people, and I think of it as something like very joyous and fun, and it's kind of cool because like I'm not trying to like shill anybody something. I'm not minting these pieces of artwork. I'm just making it and sharing it, and yeah, and then people are like, oh wow, I've really noticed like your progress, and it kind of gets people a little bit more interested in what I'm doing and maybe even invested. I don't know. I just like doing it, and now I feel like I just want to keep doing it for as long as it's kind of like fun and as long as I need the practice, which is like always, so probably for a while. But yeah, that's something I do on my Twitter every day.
Yeah, so I think that's first of all very impressive, that streak. And you talk about these streaks in the scene as well, right?
Yes, it's kind of based on sometimes I say that I'm a productivity nerd because I just love, like, I'm not even like a business, like I work in like a nonprofit at a nonprofit like college like in the day, but I'm like obsessed with like hacks and like time hacks and like productivity hacks. And then so something I've like done in like my, you know, immersion into like, you know, the 7 habits of highly effective people, like all that corporate BS, whatever. I came across Jerry Seinfeld's like process, I guess, of like how he writes jokes every day. And then there's actually a Reddit forum that I was part of for a little while, and it's called the X Effect. So basically it's like, don't break the chain. So every day you do something, and then you just kind of incrementally build and build up every single day. And then you're like, oh shit, I don't want to like stop the process. I don't want to stop the progress, because like then you have to go back to zero. So it's just kind of like I use the streak as a way to motivate myself. And then, yes, as you've seen by the zine, sometimes the streaks are like 6 days and then I don't do anything, like not for drawing, but I have other goals such as journaling. So I do find it does help motivate me, especially because I'm like, oh, I've done it for 75 days. Well, I could just do it for 75 more days and then keep going from there.
Nice. Yeah, so as a developer, I associate this with like the GitHub profile page, for example, where every day you commit code, there's a kind of blue square drawn on that date and there's a view of the entire year, and people have this crazy schemes to try to make sure that they commit something every day to keep the streak alive. And I think it just speaks to the great motivation that something like this can be. So yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah, especially if you yourself, like, you lack motivation in any sort of way, which I definitely do in certain aspects of my life, doing something like a little bit every day, or even just kind of like marking it as yep, I've done this today, it really builds like a sense of accomplishment. And I don't know, it's kind of like giving yourself like a little sticker every day, and then you're like, oh, tomorrow I'm gonna add one more to my streak, or like, yeah, get that blue square or that check mark or whatever. I find it's really fun, and it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, of course I'm gonna draw today, and of course I'm gonna share, of course I'm gonna do some coding.
Exactly. Yeah, Casper.
Yeah, so Ali, I just wanted to reassure you that you're definitely not the only one feeling the ups and downs of everyday life, not just in Web3, but I think just to share my perspective, it's exacerbated by Web3. It's made worse because I guess the cycles are so pronounced where we are, right? The highs are really high, the lows are really low. Sometimes I feel like a genius for buying ETH at X price, and then just 6 days later, you're proven completely wrong. Yeah, so it's just simple things like this that really affect your mood. And you're definitely not alone. No matter how... And I think, again, we are also in a space where social media is used so often, especially where we are right now. Everybody's life pretty much looks perfect. So I really appreciate when people like you come out to share about vulnerable moments. Because it really goes to show how there are real people behind all these beautifully crafted PFPs that we have. And we do have our down moments, and it's not a shame. It's definitely not a stigma to be talking about it. Even though where I am in Asia, it is still kind of not as advanced as the Western countries. But yeah, I really appreciate you sharing. And I think this space in particular requires, and I think it's also very suitable to for our topic today of community building and building the friendships throughout the space to support you through these very volatile times. I really think it's symptomatic of where we are in the space, and it's not you. Yeah, that's all I wanted to kind of chip in.
Thank you so much, Casper. That really, yeah, it is really hard sometimes. And I think that by sharing, or even just for you all inviting me here to talk about this more, it just really, you know, sheds more light on the issue, and that we're not all kind of like alone at home on our computers and mobile devices and things like that. Because, you know, there is still a stigma, but there's also like a beauty. And I find that in sharing these moments of like when I'm not doing so well, there's a beauty in the authenticity of that sharing. And it's a way to kind of like connect with other people who are also going with something similar, or who maybe have gone through something similar. It's like creating those connection points between other people to kind of, like you said, build a relationship and build that sense of like a more authentic community. Not just like, what's the floor price? Let's go. Let's shoot this to the moon. It's like, hey, like, how are you actually doing? So yeah, that's really, really good to keep in mind, to kind of have space for these more authentic sharing and interactions.
Yeah, and latching on to this point, just has to remember that if your friends and your collectors are sticking with you in this bear market, I mean, these are your real friends, right? Because when the bull market comes, it's all upside.
Absolutely. And when the bull market comes, you guys can sell for 10x. Because yeah, you guys stuck it out with me through this time. 10x, and you don't even have to pay a commission. That's how much I love y'all.
Oh, wow. Commissions and royalties are a big topic, by the way, in this. But yeah, that's a different avenue. So
that's next week's space.
Exactly. Closing off with maybe looking a bit ahead. So you have plans for another zine, right?
Yes. So I'm planning to release a zine on September 1st. And I'm also planning not one, but two zines for the month of October. So definitely keep an eye for that. And one of the zines in October is going to be actually a collaboration. So I'm really excited by that process of bringing other artists and folks into that.
Nice. Interesting. And Casper?
I put up a pin tweet, Ali. There's some mention of tarot cards.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so sorry, everybody. I feel like I'm doing too many things. And I was actually doing more things, and I was like, I gotta ax one of these things. I'm doing too many things to talk about them all. But yeah, so basically, I am doing a tarot card collection in addition to the zines. So the tarot cards are going to be sort of more of a standard one-of-one art piece, and I'm launching those on Wednesdays. And yes, I have a little schedule there, so you can kind of see like what's coming out and what's coming up for me in the next little while. But I am starting a tarot card collection, and I'm really excited about it because I kind of had an idea of like how I was going to do it, but I'm going to change the idea a little bit. So the tarot cards and the zine. So basically the tarot card, I want to give more because I cut my collection for my 100 girls. I actually cut it down to 11. I want to give more people opportunities to get the monthly zines. So I'm going to be doing some one-of-ones. Also, I've wanted to do tarot cards for a really long time. Just like even in like Web 2 and like traditional illustration. So I'm going to be doing a tarot deck coming out, as well as the zines. So there's a lot going on, but that kind of keeps it organized in that little chart there.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, that tweet is very structured with the timeline. So I guess that's setting timelines and deadlines for yourself, right?
Yes, because otherwise I'll do nothing or I'll do too much, but no in between. So that the structure is really for me, not for anybody else. But it's like, it's just, you know, something else to color it and check off for me. So, but it is also very handy to share. So that's what I'm going to be up to in the next little while. And definitely check out my page if you haven't, for like the daily practice, because that's something I do all the time.
Yeah, thanks. So if anyone have any last questions, feel free to mention them. In the meantime, I think just to reiterate some of the things we have been focusing on here, like especially in these times in NFTs, it's really important to find people who are real and hang out with friends instead of the bros who scream for a moon every time, and obviously they don't do that now. So I think it's been really interesting to hear about these various ways of building community and hanging out with friends and having a good time regardless of the market. And Casper, you have your hand up, yes?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to your point. I think you basically just said what I wanted to kind of round up with. Thanks so much to Laura and Ali for joining us. I really found this space intriguing and interesting, because we're always talking about ideas as to how to keep people more interested and engaged in our community. And I find all these really interesting, these games by Laura and, your, for example, the zines, perhaps the tarot cards. I don't even know what they look like from Ali yet. But I'm really looking forward to seeing them, to see how, you know, these are really very inventive, creative ways of just trying to see, like what Law said, throwing stuff on the wall and see what sticks, right? There's really no shame in that, because that's what the space is all about, right? So yeah, thanks so much for putting yourselves out there and letting us experiment, seeing the experiment play out in real life. And for the last time, I'm not the murderer.
I'm also not the murderer.
Yeah, but I know. New update. And I'm not the murderer. I'm the proxy, but I'm not the murderer.
That's what a murderer would say. Just saying.
Yeah, there's a new update. Check the pen, everybody.
And with that, I think we're done there. Everyone run, check the pen.
We have to make sure we're still alive.
Exactly. And we will see you again next week and on Discord in the meantime. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. In time.